But I'm just going to speak for a little while. I want to share one of the talks we do at TSM. It's a new one that I wrote this year. And just to give you a bit of a flavor and a bit of a taste of some of the stuff we get up to and some of the stuff we're teaching people. And really just to explain, first of all, the vision of TSM is to reveal to people and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to people who God is as their father, who they are as his kids, and what does it mean to bring the kingdom of God wherever you go. That's really the simple vision of the school. And I want to just clarify, this is not an extrovert evangelist thing. I just want to say to you, we have, if you could meet all the 40 students individually, we've got extroverts and introverts, we've got evangelists and pastors, we've got people who prefer big crowds and people who prefer one-on-one. This is not about your personality mix or how your character is made up or anything like your personality. This is about equipping every believer to live what we believe is the normal Christian life. Whether you love big crowds or you prefer one-on-one is irrelevant. This is about equipping every believer what we believe Jesus asks us, the way we believe Jesus asks us to live. So if you've got a Bible, just quickly turn to Matthew chapter 10. And this is really what we believe God instructs us as his followers to do. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus calls to himself his 12 disciples. It says this: he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. If you flick on to verse 5, it says this. This is the instruction Jesus said. These 12, Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles, enter no town of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. That's the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples, and it's the same thing he commissions us to do. We're meant to go everywhere, and wherever we go, we're meant to see the kingdom of God break in. And I the journey for me really started when I was 19 years old, and I was doing an Alpha course. I'd just come to university here, and my friend invited me on an Alpha course, and for the very first time, I saw the prophetic in action. If you've never been prophesied over, basically it's when God speaks to you through someone else who's in relationship with him, and someone prophesied over me, and I witnessed for the first time someone hearing from God for me, and it totally blew me away. I was like, what the heck is that about? That's amazing. And then I saw someone healed for the very first time. Someone had a bad ear, and the guy got them up, prayed for them, and the ear was totally healed. And I thought, flippin' heck, I never knew that that's what Christians were about. Like, I just had no understanding at all. And at the time, I was training as a PE teacher, and we always had injured people in our lectures. So I thought, I'm going to give this a go. And I was absolutely petrified because, believe it or not, I am an introvert by nature. I much prefer my own company to other people's. And I don't like big crowds so much. God did something in my heart that meant I knew that this was what I was meant to be doing. I knew this was normal Christian life. So I remember being in one particular lecture, and one of my friends had a very bad knee. And I was thinking to myself all the way through, I've got to offer to pray for her knee, I've got to offer to pray for her knee, and I forgot everything that was taught. And at the end of the lecture, I thought, I've got to offer to pray for her knee, and she left, and I chickened out, basically. Gave into fear and did not pray for her knee. And as I was walking home, with another friend called Claire, and I was beating myself up for giving into fear because I hadn't done what I knew in my heart was the right thing to be doing. And as I stopped beating myself up and listened to my friend for a minute, she was saying the words, Wendy, my knee has really been killing me recently. And I thought, oh, no. Oh, yay, but oh, no. Second opportunity. So I said to her, Claire, I know that you know I'm a Christian. Would you be up for me praying for you, for your knee? And bear in mind, I'd seen this happen once before. And she said, yes, that'd be great. And I said, oh, okay. So she came to my house, and I sat her on my bed, and I just copied what I'd seen the guy do at Alpha, and I put my hand on her knee, and I just said, pain go in the name of Jesus. And I said, how is it? And she said, it's absolutely no different. And I didn't know you could pray more than once, because all I'd seen is one chance healed. So I thought, oh, it hadn't worked. So I said, I'm really sorry. Have a good day. And she left, and that was it. Anyway, later on in the day, I was cooking my dinner, and there was a knock on the door. And as I opened the door, it was Claire and her housemate, a guy called Jamie. And she said to me, Wendy, you'll never guess what's happened. I went home and I sat in my kitchen. Jamie will tell you because he was there. And the pain in my knee got so excruciating, but then immediately it disappeared. And the pain's totally gone out of my knee. God's healed my knee. And she said, and Jamie's been playing cricket today, and he's really injured his thumb. And we just wondered, could you do anything about it? So I invited Jamie in, slightly bewildered, and we prayed for him. And he wasn't totally healed, but it was much, much better. So that was when I was 19 years ago, in about 1997, 96, and have been on a journey, personally, and as a church we've been on a journey, to see this kind of stuff come really normal. And we are just hearing story after story after story of God naturally just breaking in as we're going about our everyday life, and that is really what we're aiming to learn and grow in and journey on. And I just want to share a few things that I feel like we've learned along the way. Many of you will know this stuff, but I want to encourage you to listen with fresh ears and fresh expectation that God wants to use you. It's not just for one or two people. It's about a whole church being mobilized to do this stuff. So here's the first thing. Get convinced about God's heart, firstly for you. Get convinced about God's heart for you. One of the major things that has brought transformation in my life and many other lives in this church is understanding who God is as our Father. It changes everything. And at TSM, we bang on about it for the whole year. The first month is intensive, but we keep reinforcing God is your loving Father. He's a good Father. He's your perfect Father. And we talk about it all the way through the year because we realize that if you can get revelation of God as your perfect Father, it impacts everything else. So let me give you some examples. First of all, it brings a security to your heart that this is the kind of stuff I'm called to do because my dad loves me to do it. And he's my dad and he's got my back. And it brings a security in your inner being that this is what I'm called to do. It gets rid of fear in your life. So I don't know if you know, stepping out and doing stuff with strangers on the streets and looking to love them and encourage them requires courage. And fear is one of the biggest things that gets in the way. But the Bible says his perfect love drives out fear. So the more we get filled up with his love and revelation of how he sees us and who he is, that he's a loving father, fear just gets pushed out. And we find ourselves being more courageous. Also, it helps us connect with God's heart of compassion for those around us. Absolutely vital that we connect with his heart. As when we know him as Father, we get used to what he feels about different situations. And it's so vital because we don't ever want to get to a point of just looking at someone as the next story to be told or the next breakthrough to be shared. We want to know God's heart for this individual and passionately pursue his kingdom coming in their life because it's going to be dramatically impacting of their life and probably their family, probably their wider family. Does this make sense? And as you know God as your Father, you can't help but feel compassion for people when you see them around you. And that moves you to want to try and see something change and see God's kingdom break in. And the last thing it does, it means that when we meet people out on the streets and we have discussions with them, if we have had revelation of who God is as our Father, when they speak to us, they will encounter his love as we speak back to them. And it's so important that people who don't yet know Jesus encounter in us, as his disciples, the love of God. Because often, people who don't yet know Jesus, their biggest problem with Christians is they think they're judgmental, they're critical, they're harsh, they're hard. And actually, there are many people around like that, sadly. And what we need is for people to encounter a heart so transformed by the love of God that when we're talking with them, they experience his love from us because it is so appealing to the world. It's so appealing to people around us. They just want to know what real love is. And when we've encountered God as Father, we can give that away. So you've got to get convinced about God's heart for you, but secondly, you need to get convinced about God's heart for his kingdom. You've got to get convinced about the fact that God is very, very passionate about his kingdom breaking out. Much more compassionate than anyone in this room. Much more passionate than anyone in this room. He loves to heal the sick, to save the lost. He loves to speak to people. He loves to reveal himself to people. He loves to set people free. He loves to bring peace and joy into people's lives. He just loves to show himself to people. He's very passionate about it. So we're not trying to twist his arm to do something he's not already commissioned us and told us he's very passionate about doing. He's very excited about his kingdom. And I love that when God's kingdom comes, it's demonstrated in so many different ways. Because there might be some confusion that you might think that at TSM all that we talk about is healing. Because that's a lot of the stories you maybe hear. And I'm certainly telling you, we absolutely love to see people healed because it's a demonstration of God's love for that individual and it radically transforms their life. That's why we're passionate about it. But ultimately, our ultimate passion is that people encounter the love of God and we don't really mind how that happens. Because it's so multifaceted. If that means serving someone who's having a difficult time, brilliant. That's God's kingdom breaking in. If that means praying for someone for peace in their life because they're struggling with anxiety, excellent, because that's God's kingdom breaking in. If that means someone coming to know Jesus, fantastic. If that means someone's back gets healed, brilliant. We don't really mind. God's kingdom is multifaceted. What we really want is people to encounter his love and his goodness in whatever way that happens. And that's what we're trying to teach. So, for example, one of our teams goes to the hospital every week. And one week, one of the team had an idea that they should go and thank all the people who are working on all the different wards, as many as they could. And so they bought chocolates and cards. And they wrote cards out to basically thank people who, in their opinion, probably wouldn't get loads of thanks. And they went, armed with their chocolate and their cards, and they went to the hospital and got to drop these chocolates and cards off in the different wards. One that stands in my mind is when they went to the kids' ward, and they met the sister. And the sister said, "Hi, can I help you? You're looking for someone." And they said, "Oh, no, we just wanted to come and thank you guys for all that you're doing and just give you some chocolates." And she said, the sister said, "Oh, come in, come to the nurse's station. Let's gather them all together." So it was Sheree and Leif went into the nurse's station and the sister was like, "Hey guys, gather around. So all the nurses who are working on the kids' ward are gathering in. And didn't they make you read the card out to them all? Okay, so Sheree gave them the card and they explained what they were doing and the sister read it out to all the nurses. And I think they said, if I remember rightly, they'd been having a really difficult morning and it had really blessed them that day. God's kingdom came. And so we're just having a great time. We feel like there's real favour in the hospital. We've got connections. We're growing connections with the chaplain who was newly appointed in January, a lovely, lovely lady who was the only employed full-time staff to do all the chaplain stuff in the hospital. So we just feel like God wants us to support her and get alongside her. And the reality is what we're learning is God is passionate about his kingdom coming. In whatever way that is, it's just all wonderful because people are experiencing his love. So, get convinced about God's heart for you and his kingdom. Secondly, get convinced about who you are and what you carry. This is so important. It's one of the things we talk about time and time again throughout TSM is who we are in Christ, what our identity is. Because one of the main tactics of the enemy is to lie to us about our identity in Christ. And the reason he loves to do that is because it makes Christians passive and satisfied with lack and ineffective in the kingdom. The flip side of that is, if we as believers can really get revelation and understand the truth about who God says we are as his children, then we are mobilized and we are effective in bringing the kingdom and the enemy is in the right old state. And I know which side of the coin I would rather be on. But it's a constant battle. We have to make choices to believe what God says about us. Let me tell you some truths in case you've forgotten. Ephesians 1, verse 5. We are sons and daughters of God. We've been adopted into his family. That makes us royalty. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You are royal." It's true. Romans 8:17 says that we are heirs of God and therefore co-heirs with Christ. Now listen, I know that these truths we know, we just need the Holy Spirit to give us revelation. Because we often quote these things and think, "Oh yes, I'm a co-heir with Christ." We need revelation to hit our something, our spirit, so that we know the difference it should make for us living this. We are co-heirs with Jesus. That's phenomenal. Colossians 1:22. We are holy in God's sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Did you know that? You're free from accusation if you're in Christ. Romans 8. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. 2 Corinthians 5:20, you have been commissioned as an ambassador of Christ. That means wherever you go, you represent Jesus with his authority, bringing his kingdom. God's intention is to use you and me in everyday life to see his kingdom break out and take over this planet. That's his intention. And the more we get to grips with the reality of what God says about us and who he says we are, the more we will be looking, we'll be on the lookout for opportunities to be his ambassador wherever we go. And I just love, one of my favorite stories of the year is when I had the privilege of going to New Zealand with Phil and Pete and Laura Auld. And we were at the end of our trip, and we were going to go and watch a 2020 cricket match with New Zealand against South Africa. And we turned up outside the stadium, and as soon as we turned up outside the stadium, the New Zealand cricket team were walking by to go and practice in the nets. And Laura Auld, because she's got this stuff in her brain and it's in her spirit, said, "Quick, guys, quick, stop the car. This is our opportunity to impact the entire nation. We've got to go and do something." I mean, she's got the, more than me. My thought was, where are we parking? Where are we eating? If I'm honest with you. And she got out of the car and she went to the guys in the nets and she said, "Look, we're visiting from England. Is there anything we can pray for?" She thought to herself that a cricket team, maybe someone's ill. Is anyone on your team injured? Can we pray? We believe God can heal. And they were a bit stunned to start with, but then they said, "Oh yeah, well, our captain is actually not playing today because he's got a bad calf injury." And she said, "We're going to pray. Is he here?" "No." "Okay, we're going to pray quickly as a team." So Laura came over to us, and I don't even know what we said, just a very quick, "Yes, heal him, Lord," very nonchalantly, "heal him, Lord." And that was it. Anyway, the next week, Phil's back at the staff offices and relaying the story, and one of our staff, Rory, is looking on his phone for news reports about the New Zealand cricket team to see if anything had happened. He found this report, and it says this: "Ross Taylor," that's the captain, "will lead New Zealand after making an impressive recovery from his calf injury." Come on. Honestly, it's just phenomenal. So she was right. We're actually called to impact nations. She was on the ball. So understand who you are and what you carry. Thirdly, work out how God gets your attention. This is one of my favorite things that God's been revealing to me this year. John 5, verse 19 says, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Now, he knew what God's heart was to happen in different circumstances, but I feel like there's different ways that the Holy Spirit just really likes to get our attention when we're out doing our own stuff. And I made a little bit of a list during the year. This is not an exhaustive list, but hopefully it will help you to see if God is really trying to get your attention. I've put it into two broad categories. The first is when we should go and speak to somebody, and how do we know? And the second is when God brings people to us, which are by far my favorite. And as a general rule, in any encounter, I'm looking for people who've got a bit of time, who are smiling, and look like they're going to be nice. That's generally what I'm looking for. And I'm asking myself, God, what do you want to say to this person that's going to really bless them right now? Is there anything that I can pray for about for this person that's going to show them your love? And I'm asking those questions and trying to tune into God as I go. So, first of all, how do we know that we might need to go and speak to somebody? First of all, you just feel compassion for them. Sometimes you'll know why, because they're clearly having a hard time, or they're poor, or they clearly are struggling, and they're broken, or they're clearly ill. Sometimes you won't have a clue why you feel God's compassion, you just feel it. And you just need to go and say something to this person. Jesus was regularly moved with compassion. So I'd say, if you feel compassion about someone and you're not sure what to do, just start by saying, "Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm looking to people to bless and encourage. Is there anything I can pray for you about today?" You'd be surprised at how many people will receive prayer. We had a great story in this last week of TSM when our Healing on the Streets team had a conversation, two of our guys had a conversation with a couple who were clearly having a hard time. And the lady started to speak about very difficult things going on in her family. She'd lost members of her family. And our team were able to share stories from their own life to show that they had some understanding of what that felt like. And they brought her some food and just sat with her and sat with this couple and just blessed them and just spent time with them. And then one of our team asked the girl, do you feel ready to give your life to Jesus? And the lady said, yes, I do. And she led her to Jesus on the streets just a couple of weeks ago. What was amazing was we found out, having shared it in the project team training, that the lady was someone the project has been investing in and working with for about the last year, if I'm right. And they have been investing in her and spending time with her and supporting her. And then our guys had the privilege of basically sowing the fruit, reap the stuff that the project had sowed in for the last year or so. And this lady gave her life to Jesus. What's really exciting is we have a relationship with her, and the project are able to get alongside her and support her and love her. And it's just absolutely outstanding how God does it. I just think it's just a wonderful example of how the project and what's going on with TSM in terms of serving the community and loving those who are in the community and in the town is just dovetailing. And we're getting so many opportunities to encounter those who are poor and very, very broken. In this area, Caldwell is one of the poorest wards in this town. And we've spent a lot of time as well in the Star Cafe in town. God kind of opened it up. And the Star Cafe, it turns out, is where lots of people from Wellowing hang out. Lots of people who are broken and have poor situations. And we've had a team that have gone in there regularly just to pray. They've had real favor. It's just been amazing to see. The project does an amazing job investing in the poor and the broken. And this is kind of broadening our impact as a church, which is just such a privilege. Such a privilege. So first of all, you might feel compassion. Secondly, you might see someone more than once. Don't just think, oh, I saw them a little while ago. It might be that God's trying to get your attention, is what I found. Especially, I mean, if you see them three times, definitely ask God what he wants you to do. So you might see them once at 10 o'clock, at 11 o'clock, you've done all your shopping, you're leaving, and you see them again. That may well be God wanting you to speak to this person. He's opening up an opportunity. Or you just can't stop looking at someone who's sitting nearby. You have to be careful with this one. But sometimes if I go to churches and I'm meant to be prophesying, the people God highlights to me are the people who I just keep being drawn to for no apparent reason because I don't know them. It might be that God wants to speak to that person. So be asking God, God, what do you want to say to that person? Or you see someone who reminds you of someone else. So just trying to learn what the Holy Spirit's saying. Don't just think, oh my gosh, they remind me of so-and-so. It might be that God wants you to speak to that person based on the person they remind you of. Does that make sense? So remember, my friend once was out on the streets, and he saw someone who reminded him of a youth leader that he knew, and he felt like God said, I want you to go and speak to that person about working with young people. Because the guy reminded him of a youth leader. And he went and spoke to the guy, and it was very relevant and very encouraging for him. It's this way God likes to get our attention. Lastly, you might just get a pain in your body for no apparent reason as you're walking past somebody. And try and tune into the Holy Spirit. It's not just, don't just think, oh gosh, my elbow hurts. He might be giving you a word of knowledge for the person who's just walking by you. I was at Sainsbury's once, and I suddenly had a really bad pain in my chest, and I was struggling to breathe. And I knew that wasn't me. I don't have a problem with my chest or struggling to breathe. And I was, at that point, getting into my car to leave, and I thought, good, I'm about to leave, I'm going to carry on, because I just get really scared, just to be honest with you. And I was thinking, I think it's a word of knowledge, if I leave quickly, I won't find the person. That's honestly what I thought, I'm just going to get in my car and go. And then I drove past an ambulance that had just pulled up outside Sainsbury's and thought, oh no, what if it's for the person who's about to get in the ambulance? Just drove home. Oh dear. As I drove home, I pulled up outside my house, and there was a lady walking on her own up the streets carrying bags. And I thought, maybe this is the person. So I did my check. I smiled at her. She smiled. I thought, maybe this is her. And so I dropped my shopping in, ran up the road, chased her up the road and said, I'm really sorry to bother you. This is a bit random, but do you have a pain in your chest and you're struggling to breathe? And she said, yes. She said, I've had problems with my chest and struggling to breathe for 6 months. And I'm in the process of thinking about, should I go and get it checked out? I've just been living with it. And then I tried to explain that I'm a Christian. Sometimes God speaks to me. Felt like he spoke to me about someone with a pain in their chest and struggling to breathe. Could I pray for her? And she started to cry. He said, thank you so much for being brave and coming to speak to me. This has totally blown me away. He said, for the last year I've been wondering, is there a God? And I was able to pray for her as she went back to her house. She said the breathing felt a lot easier. Here's the thing with this kind of stuff. You will never know unless you have a go. I could have just gone into my house and shut the door, and I would have been none the wiser. But I went for it, and as it happened in that instance, it was the right person. We're almost done. What about when God brings people to us? These are my favorites. These are some of the ways you might realize God wants you to speak to someone. If someone randomly starts speaking to you for no apparent reason, that is a perfect open door for an encounter. What I try and do in those circumstances, rather than being frustrated because I'm doing my own thing, I'm trying to start by saying, God, is there anything you want to say to this person that's going to bless them? And so I was in Costa, Anne, I can see you now. Is this okay if I share this story? Too late though. I was in Costa about 2 months ago, and Anne and her daughter, Anne Marie, were sat next to me. I didn't know them, and I was just chatting with a friend. And Anne and her daughter went to leave, and Anne just said to me, do you go to the King's Arms? And I said, oh, yeah, I do. How do you know? And she'd come once on Mother's Day, and I'd been up the front saying some stuff. Immediately, I'm thinking, Father, what do you want to say that's going to bless these guys? And I'm talking to them. I'm saying, God, please speak to me about something. And what it turns out, we had a really good conversation. Got to pray for both of you, I think. And it was just such a wonderful time of just sharing God's heart with them. And then it was the week later, Anne, I think, that you then gave your life to Jesus and got baptized last week. So it was just amazing. I could have just had a conversation and they would have left, but I'm trying to learn to listen to what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. Secondly, someone starts to tell you about their sickness. This is a good one. When one of our students on the tube going to London, a guy comes and sits next to her and is like, oh my gosh, the arthritis in my knees is killing me. And she's on the tube thinking, no, Jesus, because she knows that this is how the Holy Spirit likes to get the attention. And he just goes on and on, oh, my knees. And she's like, no, on the tube. But she was phenomenally courageous and offered to pray for him. It's just how God, he's just hilariously funny how he likes to get our attention. And one of my favorites now is what I'm calling backed into a corner encounters. And then one of example like that is like Martin's, where basically the guy asks for you to pray for him. And you're totally stuffed and you've got to do something. And we're finding that happening more and more because God has just got such a fantastic sense of humor. Lastly, before we pray, once you've understood God's heart for you and his kingdom, and you know who you are and what you carry, and you know how God gets your attention, you've got to take some risks. And this has been lots of fun, very scary, but it's the way this kind of lifestyle is going to be lived out, is if people like you and me choose to walk through fear and take some risks now and again. And I just want to share one thing that's really helped me with this before we pray, and that is this, that God's measure of success is totally different to our measure of success. Because I used to think I was successful if the person I prayed for was healed or if the prophetic word I brought was right. And actually, God measures success totally differently. And he taught me about it when I was walking around a park one day having been in town and prayed for someone who was almost blind and someone in a wheelchair, and seemingly nothing had happened. And I was walking around the park just talking to Jesus about feeling disappointed. I saw a lady on crutches, offered to pray for her. She said she didn't want prayer. And I walked away thinking, another failure. As I walked away from her, in my head, I heard the most ridiculously loud and over the top applause and cheering. And it was really, really loud. And I was like, what the heck is that about? Knowing that God was probably trying to speak to me, I was saying, God, nothing happened. What's that? He said to me, Wendy, that is the applause of heaven because you have once again taken a risk for me. And it totally changed the way I view stuff. And it took the pressure off. Because actually, God is at the end of our lives wanting to say, well done, good and faithful servants. The issue is not the outcome. The issue is the faithfulness and the obedience. And that has massively changed my mindset on this kind of stuff. I hope it helps you to have a go. Take some risks. This week, see if the Holy Spirit is willing to get your attention somehow and have a go, because there's no pressure on you. He's got it sorted, but he wants to use you. I want us to pray right now, and I know we need to release to the parents soon, but I wanted, if all the TSM students, we're not going to do words of knowledge, guys, but I wonder if you can just come up and line yourselves up real quickly, facing these guys along here. And if the rest of you guys want to stand, we just want to pray for you real quick, and I'll explain what we're going to do. Just spread yourselves around. There's lots more space over here, guys. Okay. What I'd like to do is just pray for you all real quick. TSM guys, if you can just pair yourselves up with the person you're stood next to, because you're going to pray for people in a bit, but I want you to do it in team. So just pair up with someone. I just want to pray for us really quickly, and I want to ask the Holy Spirit to deposit in all of you what he put in me when I was 19. When I saw someone prophesy over me for the first time, and saw someone healed for the first time, and I knew that this was the normal Christian life. And God deposited something in my heart that I cannot shake, even if I want to. I want to pray for you that God does something in your heart that you cannot shake, even if you'd rather not have it, because this is the life God's called you to. You